Hello, everybody. Today is July 29th, 2014. It's Tuesday at 3 o'clock p.m. on BBS Radio, show station number 2. And I just wanted to let everybody know there has been unbelievable interference with the website, the PayPal buttons, the donation buttons, etc. So once again, please be patient with us as we try to investigate and repair. And with no further ado, I'd like to jump into my next radio show guest, which is Jerry Yusko. I think he might ring a bell for some of you because I've had him on before. He's a close personal friend of mine, but he's also someone that's near and dear to my heart who has assisted me with some of the healings that I've had with him over the years. Jerry was born with empathic skills and abilities, and he uses them to guide him during the treatment of individuals. Being a natural-born clairvoyant and a medical intuitive, Jerry carries many gifts and offers the community just this very special way of connecting with your spirit and utilizing the lessons that you've learned, to further enhance your ascension process and your consciousness expansion. So, as a medical intuitive, Jerry uses his knowledge to help people with the mending of their physical ailments. He reads their energy fields and he delivers pertinent information about their present moment, looks into their mind, and sees the auras and elements of past lives, negative energies, present blockages, and more. He can also remove negative energies and blockages from those he is treating. He's capable of seeing visual images of how the mind interprets the reality of the world around him through symbols and entities, angelic beings, extraterrestrials, and the third eye. And so, anyway, if you'd like more information, we'll have his bio up on the site. So why don't we go ahead and dive in? We've had incredible challenges getting this interview off the ground today, so we know it must be important. So hello, Jerry, how are you?
Hello, Alexandra. I'm doing fantastic today. And you?
I'm doing well, and I'm curious to see what unfolds because I haven't had this kind of interference in a while. When I say that, it's only like a day or two, but because of what Pam and I have brought forward, it's kind of an ongoing thing. But anyway, so I know that you were very anxious to get out to the world this new process that you've created, and I was very intrigued by it. You call it becoming a master through living in your temple, and I thought if you could start by defining with all of us, what exactly do you mean by the temple?
The temple is the universal connection back into source. It goes beyond the dantian, which is from the energy from the stomach, because what you do as the temple is you actually clear the five stages of your being. You clear the body, the mind, the subconscious, the soul, and the spirit to have them acclimate and come back into oneness again. And what you're really doing when you create a temple is you're realigning all your essence back into one vibrational singularity. But you can only do that by removing the blockages, the heavy density within the body, the heavy density within the mind and the subconscious, and the soul. And then you start bringing in your higher spirit along with, like for myself, for example, I bring in the different masters. So I'll bring in the Christ consciousness, the Buddha consciousness, the Dalai Lama consciousness, so I have wisdom, so I can, and it, along with my own higher self, so I can have recall, so I can have intuition and knowledge. The temple is not a place. It's actually the pure essence of beamed back in universal connection of energy through every single subatomic particle of your whole being. So it's a little bit hard to grasp, but once you do it, you become in such empowerment with the Earth environment and your higher self that you're able to create and manifest almost at will what you truly want from your life. Because you have no more blocked belief systems because you remove them all from you.
That's fantastic, Jerry. So when did this all come to play? I mean, is this something that you just thought of, you know, yesterday, or has this been kind of like a work in progress?
It's been a work in process. I've been working on it for almost 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. And the reason why I had to develop the temple is because, as you well know, I go out and I heal. And when I used to have my blending events, as a vendor, I would heal people and give them readings, and I would do this for 8 hours in a day. And after doing like 15 to 20 people in one day, the next day I would feel drained and tired and run down. And I needed a way to keep energy constantly flowing. And so I asked my my guardians, my higher self, and the powers that be, what can I do to sustain my power, sustain my stamina, so I can work on as many people as I can in one day, but then the next day not feel any consequences from it. How do I shield myself from them, but at the same time give them unconditional energy from Source? And they told me, build a temple. This is what Christ taught to the disciples. And there's a long story behind it, but basically it was what the true Christians learned before the biblical Bible came in order to reach their own nirvana or their own state of pure energy. And it really does work, because now I've been known to go out and heal 10, 20, 30 people in a day, constantly, one right after the other, and I don't get tired, and I can get up and do it the next day too, because I'm not drawing from physical energy anymore. I'm actually drawing from Source energy. And people can actually feel the difference. It's not, this is not Reiki where you learn symbols. It's actually taking like the symbols and dissolving them into you, so you don't ever have to use a symbol because you are the symbol, the master symbol. And that's what the temple is. You become the master of your own divine, reasoning creation of why you came here. So basically, once you build the temple, you're truly connected in atonement, alignment, and resident energy and vibrational energy. And like I said, the body, the mind, the subconscious, the soul, and the spirit. And they all agree to the same acclimation and manifestation of what you wish to create.
Yeah, because Jerry, don't you think that that's one of the core issues when you receive a healing, is to make sure that all of the bodies are in alignment to accept and receive the higher vibrational light, you know, that's penetrating those particular bodies.
And that's very true. And that is why when you've had a healing from me before, I ask you, what do you want? Or whoever gets a healing from me, I ask them, what do they want? And what they want physically, I find out sometimes truly different than what they want spiritually. And because I'm gifted and I can see imagery and I can talk to spirits, when I'm working on someone, I am a hands-on healer. I clear the chakras, and as I'm doing that, I can actually see your higher self coming in through your root chakra, bringing up what you want to manifest in your life, the energy that you need at that present moment to complete you.
Nice. And so how long have you been doing this now for?
I've done it all my life, but this technique that I've been doing, 2.5 years.
Okay. And so what are most of the people expressing as far as the significant differences?
As far as my students that I've been teaching this to,
yes.
What they're really encountering, the ones that really get it and I work with them, is they're learning how to empower their own self, and they're realizing who they are and what their purpose is finally without always having to question it. Because the one thing that they're doing more than anything else is they're remembering who they are, and their intuitive knowledge is coming back to them.
That's outstanding, because you know, I would say amongst the majority of the people that write in to us, this is probably one of the most number one burning issues, is trying to remember why they're here, you know, what they've come here to do. And anything that can assist us all to get more clarity is a good thing. Do you also feel that the energies are really impacting the success of this new technique that you've come forward with?
Yes, because everything that you create from this technique is divinely to you. So every single person will always be different, because although we share some commonalities, I don't share your true personal experiences, and that is what you can get rid of. So you can get rid of past life things, you can get rid of blockages, this really works well if you believe or you have entities that attack you, if you have demons that haunt you, if you have certain things that are going on that you can't explain. With the temple, you literally can manifest the energy to get rid of everything, because what you start doing is bringing in the higher vibration of light and energy of who and what you are. So you are seeing not only in a physical reality, but also in a spiritual continuity of your energy coming out of you, your aura, your physical essence is basically changing. You actually become a lighter being. And in so doing, you start manifesting the higher spiritual nature of yourself. Because that's what you're really doing. You're bringing the higher spirit into you.
That's outstanding. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's really working, because a lot of my students report back to me that after using this technique, they have more confidence, more control, and less fears in their life. Because they learned how to release them and replace them with what they finally wanted.
So, is it, Jerry, like a actual workshop, or is it a session with you?
It's an actual workshop. It's three sessions, in actuality. One explains the physical. One explains the quantum physics of it, how it actually happens, what takes place between the spirit and the soul, per se. So it's all on the quantum energy level. And then once you master your temple, the last one is the actual practice of what you wanted. And what I do with my students in the class is, if they want to be a healer, per se, I have them stand up and say, okay, read this person, and then I can feel the person that they're reading and tell them what type of energy they're doing, and then give them suggestions on how to either become stronger or whether they're on the right track. So with my ability to be able to see and read, it gives me insight to actually helping the students on a one-on-one basis in a really unique way.
I wanted to know, Jerry, when you're working with some of these students, do you see a typical pattern from the people that are coming forward where the actual blockage typically resides?
Yes, in two aspects. A lot of it is past lives, And they're still carrying that energy from whatever happened to them, because they didn't know how to let it go, because they didn't learn from it yet. And the other one is a lot of fear. Even when a person believes that they're truly in power, unless they're really good, they live in a fear base. And the other good thing about this, too, I'm noticing, too, people that come to me that are masters in their own way of healing and stuff, after learning my technique, they've actually thanked me for teaching them a new technique that they can add into their own modalities.
Well, and that's good, because I think the best healers out there are those that have received their own gifts, their own uniqueness, you know, their own approach in assisting the healing process, you know, rather than going to these, you know, churn them out, you know, Healer 101, you know, Heal America workshops, you know what I mean? Not that that's bad. It's just that this is honoring that special uniqueness of the individual that's assisting people.
Yeah. And here it goes. It goes back to this. It's because everything that you do in the temple is your own creation of who you truly are at the time of creation. Do you understand that?
I'm thinking. I'm processing that right now.
Okay. Basically, all it is, at the time of creation, we're all equal. And then as we went through different lives, and we went through different densities and stuff, somewhere along the line, we have lost that connection of what we were when we were first created. The essence of what we were. The temple reestablishes that connection. Because when you start releasing all that does not serve you and start pulling down what you want and who you are and how you wish to serve, you start remembering things. You start becoming more energetic. Most of the people that I've worked with, the one thing that they have said more than anything else that really practices is they can truly feel the energy coming, vibrating through their hands, vibrating through their bodies. They'll report their metabolism going up. They'll say that I went through a process of where I was super hot. And that's just the body cleaning itself. It's your body starting to acclimate to different parts of energy that you're bringing in. Because what you're bringing in is truly what you desire for yourself. And that's something that a healer can't give you. A healer can relieve pain and maybe even take the disease away. But in the long run, you are truly responsible for your happiness, your well-being, and your state of mind. And the temple always gives you the ability to be in connection to that. It's a mantra that you have to say on a daily basis. For me, this mantra took over a year to do. I didn't even get to build my temple until almost a year and probably almost a year and a half, because I had so much that I needed to clear. And I found out that I need to, even though I have my temple built and I teach this and I'm a master, I still do a mantra. Because every day life affects me in a new way.
I agree.
So I just get rid of the energy that does not serve me during the day. Either what other people wish to put upon me without even knowing it, or what I've created against them because I've been in traffic and I don't like the way they're driving.
Or just being the light that you are. You're going to draw stuff to you, and when you're such a bright light.
Yeah, very true.
You know, can't prevent that from happening. So go ahead.
But then this temple gives me the ability to go back and re-change the energy and make a negative into a positive, and to get rid of it and bring in the higher essence of what I am, the higher spirit. So I'm no longer divided among myself. I'm true oneness. And that's what I say. I'm one. I'm the me, the self, and I.
Well, I was especially motivated to interview you today because, as you know, we've talked about this before, my audience tend to be a lot of healers, psychics, mediums, practitioners, shamans, etc. And one of my goals is to bring any type of gift forth that I think will expand their gifts. Because let's face it, when the veil is lifted, the masses are going to be seeking us all out in big, big ways. You know, it's going to be like an infiltration of help me now, oh my God, you know? And I loved the fact that you were talking about assisting people and becoming a true master of themselves. So can you talk a little bit about being a true master of self?
Yes, I can. In fact, I had a lady actually wrote what I was saying at the time when I was giving my mantra. So if you can bear with me one moment.
I will.
Okay. Becoming a true master is, to me anyway, it's not being perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be a true master. But you have to be willing to understand your flaws of being human. And you can't blame everyone for the things that happen against you. You have to understand why they do the things that they do. And then you just go from there. And you, as long as you're fair and equal to other people, that in return, it makes you become more enlightened if you treat them well whenever you have a problem. So, like for me, becoming a master was my mantra basically starts out that says, I, Jerry Yusko, I ask the divine to clear my body of the following. All diseases, all parasites, infection, germs, bacteria, fungus, viruses, allergies, impurity, chemicals, imbalance, toxin, negative energy, negative memories, obstacles, fears, patterns, shame, worries, guilt, doubts, drama, blockages, negative people, abuse, suffering, regret, pain, negative thoughts, negative beliefs, negative feelings, negative circumstances, negative attachments, negative etheric energies, and all that is harmful to my body, my mind, my subconscious, my soul, and my spirit.
Wow.
And these are all the things that I start clearing to become a master, because once I get rid of all my blockages and everything else, I can meditate and find out what I want to replace all that with.
And that's a really good point, because what's really hot out on the internet right now is retracting contracts.
Right.
But that's not working for people. I mean, some people it's working for, but it's not a catch-all. So what do you think about that?
When it comes to contracts, right at this point, because the way that I believe, there's two things that the human race should be very aware of, and I can talk to people and really explain it well. I don't know if I have enough time right now, but because we are going through a new energetic change of the Mayan calendar and the new Platonic energy coming in from the galactic center, and DNA is changing in people, and people are either evolving or ascending. At this point, and I was talking to someone about this, the only way that you can do that is you have to break the cycle of us all being connected together. What that means is, before, if I went off to war and killed someone, even though we claimed that it was right, wrong, or indifferent, it didn't matter, that energy that I created from taking another human life would be karma built up not only in myself, but it also would reverb through every other person. Because us as a conscious massive collection of thoughts were inherent to that act. Mm-hmm. All that was broken before 2012, but definitely during 2012 when we came into the new field of energy. To me, in order to be able to ascend or to be able to evolve, you have to be free of all contracts, and you have to be free of all karmic energy that you can build up. It means that you finally have to accept the responsibility of what you do and you create. You and you alone are responsible for that. In other words, you have to start taking your own divine free will and say, I choose to or I choose not to. But you can't force me to make a decision that goes against my principles, my morals, or my beliefs. And if you say that you walk in a Christ consciousness or a Buddha consciousness or whatever, then there are certain things that you will not do, no matter what other people try to make you do or how they make you feel guilty. So I believe that right at this point for me, all karmic debts are off, and because they are, I can start clearing myself and build a true energy temple that makes me truly connected to Source again, to the universe, energy. And because I know I won't bring harm into it, because when I relieve all the negativeness that this world has stowed upon itself and myself through time of being reincarnated, I'm finally at a point, because of the temple, I can remove all that, all negativeness, all dark energy, anything, and bring in the divine light of which we were all created by.
God, that's beautiful, Jerry. You know, I got a big hit just listening to you just now. It's almost as if what you're saying is, for such a long time, we have all been conditioned to, as they say, stuff it, or don't say anything if it's not nice, or, and I'm not saying not to, but, or, you know, if it's controversial, keep your mouth shut, or, you know, things like that. And it's almost as what you're saying is, we have all been afraid to be truly authentic in what we feel or what we really value as far as what we speak, because our higher state of mind and consciousness knows that we've been in this global mass consciousness, right, where we're automatically getting boomeranged karmically because we're all in this kind of soup together. So it's almost as if you're saying that we are now free, you know, the karmic debt is off, and we're all each standing individually in our own pool of thoughts and beliefs, etc. And we don't have to be in that soup anymore, or be affected, or be kind of maneuvered, so to speak, into diversions or areas that we never really wanted to be in the first place.
True, very true. A good example of that would be if I wish to ascend, but I do your will instead of my own, then I basically have trapped myself from ascending, no matter how much I wish to, because I'm not carrying out my true divine purpose of being here.
And calling, yeah.
Calling.
Yeah, and so this is so important. I really feel, I'm so grateful that you brought this topic up, because I think authenticity right now and transparency are so key in how we read one another. And there tends to be a lot of, because of the proliferation of our contact activity on the planet right now, there tends to be a lot of kind of knee-jerk, oh my God, you know, polarized comments, like, you know, oh, he's dark and she's light, and, you know, he's gray and she's this and she's that. And so do you feel that by going into your own temple, is it affecting the very fact of those darknesses not even being able to kind of find you on their radar screen?
Yes, you hit it perfectly. The way I can sum that up is, one of my students had negative people around her, and one of the decrees that she put into her temple, or her mantra, I should say, was she wished that all negative people in her life would fall away from her, because she wanted to go into a higher vibration, and she couldn't do it when she always had negative energy pulling her down, she thought. Mm. So she literally put in her mantra that any negative people that would stop her from reaching her full potential and her paradigm to the Christ consciousness or the God source, her light would energetically remove them from her field of energy. And that's basically what happened. They volunteered to move out of her path in her life because they could not withstand her brightness. Because every time they would come into it, they couldn't act in a negative way toward her.
That's just outstanding. Now, going back to a statement that you made about the difference between there's two types of people right now, the evolving and the ascending. Can you clarify for us again, what exactly do you mean by that?
Okay. If you're to evolve right now, an evolving person to me is a person who is coming into their own. They see life differently. They might start waking up one day and they say, oh, I have abilities, or this intuition is just coming to me. I'm starting to remember things I've never been taught. I just know things. Or they'll start feeling empathic and not know the reason why. These are people that are evolving, and they really do need a good teacher. They need someone to teach them how to come into their feelings and understand what they're actually going through without judgment. And they're going to be able to, the people that are evolving are becoming more enlightened in how to remember who they are, but they don't have the spiritual connection and the mind connection to remember everything of who they are. And I don't know if I'm making sense on that, but basically there's still a disconnect. But they know that they're changing. They know that they're looking for more in life than just getting up, going to a job, feeding their kids, putting the roof over their head, and then going to sleep at night and doing the same routine for the rest of their life. They're looking for a new type of awareness and happiness. And they have questions. They have abilities that are just coming on, and they're not really sure how to acclimate that energy into their body yet. And that would be a person who's evolving, in my opinion.
Okay. So define what you perceive ascending to be.
An ascending person is a person who has been here a long time, knows that there's more than one form of life in the universe, and they came here to fulfill their purpose of helping those who are evolving to a new awareness of how to love their fellow man, because they are already doing it themselves, and they are in service to people. And because of that service, they're evolving into the light beings that they wish to create. Now, or to become. Like for me, I wish to become a rainbow of light, and when I leave this world for this time, I don't know if I want to come back. But I know this much. If I decide to come back because I'm evolving, I am setting up right now my paradigm through my temple that my next body that I come into will be more of a Christ-like being body, where I'll probably have the ability to know how to talk. I'll have the ability of awareness. I won't have any veils. I'll have certain abilities that I don't have to relearn through a lifetime again, because I will already have the transition of energy to bring them into my next development of life.
Right, right.
So that is a person who's evolving. And
you mean a person who's ascending?
Ascending. Sorry about that. I got okay. interrupted for a moment. Sorry. Yeah, for a person uh-huh. who is ascending. And if you're ascending, this is the greatest time to be of service to your fellow human beings.
It really is. It really is.
And that's what the temple does. It makes it that transition for those who are evolving. to come into power a lot more quickly, a lot easier, because now they can learn the manifestation of who and what they truly wish to be without an outside influence, or learning a modality, which isn't wrong or bad, but there's no greater gift than learning who and what you truly are.
Oh, gosh, that's perfectly stated. And now, you had also mentioned that you were going to teach people how to use the energy from the galactic center. Can you clarify for all of those people out there that either have the desire to become a healer or who already are doing some sort of healing capacity, what is the difference maybe between that and the light that they're drawing in already through their various techniques and how they, you know, and how they do their healings?
Okay. The galactic center, and this has been proven, it's basically a giant black hole within the center of our galaxy. And according to the Mayan calendars and our instrumentation, about every 250,000 years, I guess we go through it. Is it 225? I think it's 250.
225.
225 years. We go through this point in space whereby all this energy that's being released from this black hole bombards the Earth for about a 1,000-year cycle. This energy has actually been known to change the DNA in humans, in the plant life, in the evolution of our planet. In fact, our own Earth is affected by it too, because our the Earth's vibrational field, the resonant field of the Earth, has actually went up. And I have the specs on that, but it went from like 6.1 megahertz, and now I think it's up to almost 10 or 11. Mm. And as the Earth vibrates in a higher frequency, the living creatures on it, and that includes us, are going to go up in vibration. And it is at this time that we can take in that energy from the galactic center and change our perspective of what we want to be physically. Okay? So, to me, the galactic center is how we change our DNA. And for me, I want to change my DNA back to the purity of what we were in the beginning.
I remember when you did a healing on me once, I think one of the most profound things you had asked me was, let's go back to your point of origin. And I showed you like a beetle or something. And you said, no, no, no. Let's go back to the point of origin. And I remember you and I talking about that, and you said it's very typical when you ask someone, you know, let's go back to your point of origin, and they'll show you the manifestation of where they ended up, you know, physically, like how they manifest themselves in a physical form, versus you're actually trying to take them back to the divine spark, right?
Right. Most people that I read, they don't see themselves as spiritual beings at this point. They see themselves as survival beings. And the reason why they will show myself as a beetle or a bumblebee or a wasp or a lizard or whatever, it's because that's how their life is at that moment in time. Because they're looking through their life as a physical being, not as a spiritual being. They're looking how to make their daily bread and survive from day to day. And that's what insects do.
Good point.
But a spiritual being, when you go back to the original essence of what you are, you're creative energy. You are a light being. You are like the angels. You know, you are your energy. And but very few people see themselves worthy enough of seeing their true reflection of who they are in their own spirit. They don't, and that's a feeling. It's And it comes through your aura. It comes through your love for service and your love through humanity. And the love of thyself is the most important, then it comes through.
Nice. So when you talk about the temple and you talk about the soul and the, I believe you said superconscious, right?
I said spirit. Okay. You have the body, the mind, the subconscious, the soul, and the spirit. The soul to me is what's inside. It's the spark that gives you the electrical energy to run your brain and everything about you.
Okay.
The spirit is the outside that knows and sees above and sees ahead. And it's that one that when you come to the fork in the road and you can go right, left, or straight, the spirit is the one that says, take this road and it'll be a simpler road. And it loses translation because the soul goes, I'm adventurous and I want to do this. And then the subconscious, you tell the subconscious, and the subconscious says, I'm a pretty destructive person at this time because I'm not really happy with myself. So I know if I take the left road, it's going to be a hardship. But that's what I think I deserve subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
Even though your spirit might have said, no, go right. Do the right things. You know, this path is where you really need to go in life at this point. And if you had stayed on the middle road, you would have just kept staying in whatever circumstances you were.
Mm-hmm.
So there, that's the division.
And what about the mind? What's the difference between the mind and the subconscious?
In my courses, I really explain this, but basically...
Okay. Well, you just basically, you know.
Well, the mind is the action. You need some way to be... for every action, there's a reaction. So look at it this way. The subconscious would be an action, and the reaction would be the mind determining what you want to do, how you perceive life, what you deserve, in the aspect of how you're going to have your body carry it out.
Interesting.
Because sometimes we're really in conflict with ourselves. And I can prove that because have you ever made a decision, said, I am going to do this, and then right at the very last moment you don't do it?
Oh, yeah, I think we all do that.
That's basically because either you get intuition or you just don't trust yourself. And it's really complex. You in that balance of what you truly deserve. In the class, I go through all this in great detail.
Interesting. So are you saying that, like, let's just take that as an example because everybody can relate to that. So let's say that, you know, I really wanted to take action in something, say, in June.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did, but then I was kind of talked out of it, let's say. What is involved there? Is it my spirit kind of not in alignment with my subconscious?
That's one of the things involved, but it also has to do with where you're physically at in life.
Mm-hmm.
See, in order to take risks, if you're really comfortable in life, like let's say you were living in a mansion and you had servants and all like that, your perspective would be different than that person who's living on the street.
Okay.
Although, spiritually, neither one of you are better in God's eyes, okay?
Right.
But in your case, if you can be talked out of something, it's because you didn't have true confidence in yourself. Because you let your subconscious intermingle with the person who was trying to influence you.
Okay, so let's take it a step further. Which is the subconscious, is this the core area where the negativity or archontic influences come through?
Yeah, it deceives you.
Okay.
And the great thing about becoming a master in the temple,
interesting,
is eventually you no longer have a subconscious because you don't work against your best interests because you're always manifesting what you want out of life. And when you actually see the results of what you're manifesting, because you have created it through the energy of the universe, there is no conflict in what you desire anymore. So, therefore, the subconscious basically becomes null and void.
And, I mean, do you feel that that's directly correlated with Jesus' teachings about the temple, that the subconscious really is not a necessary, you know, player in our evolutionary process? Do you think that it's come to its point in time where it's no longer needed?
Yes, I believe that it is. For those who are basically truly ascending, you won't need a subconscious anymore because you won't have doubt, because you will already have the intuition of knowing. And even when you don't know, you'll be so clear in your perceptions of being able to read other people, because you're not reading them as judgment. You're reading them as what's in their heart, whether it is in your best interest or not. And that's not judgment.
Right.
So you would know whether you should listen to them or not. And you'll know by your own intuition of what you've already been creating through your temple, whether it vibrationally feels in sync to what you want to create. And if it doesn't, that's telling you don't do it.
You know, I'm really glad that you brought this up, too, because I had a very profound conversation with a friend the other day, and we were talking about the word ascension. And she had done, you know, a phenomenal amount of reading, and I had shared with her the reading that I've had. And Steve and I have said this many times, that we felt that it wasn't really an ascension as much as a descension, where everything is coming in alignment, and you're coming to a point of pure, total, holistic, you know, alignment is so overused, but I guess I'll use that, with the actual body. And, you know, it's like we keep looking to the stars and we keep looking to getting out of here, but in fact the feeling is that we're becoming more in oneness with Mother Earth and ourselves, knowing fully well that several of our own chakras reside within her. So what would you say to that?
In a quantum state of energy, you are correct. Because actually you're going back to what we originally were created, which I was saying in the beginning. We were transcendent beings, in my opinion, where we could ascend heaven and earth. Through our thoughts. Okay, so actually, instead of evolving, it would be an ascension back to original creation. Mm-hmm. But the mind doesn't necessarily look at it that way, because we're looking at it as being something new. And actually, what I'm actually teaching of the temple, it's actually thousands of years old. It's not new. It's only new. It's new in the remembrance of it, maybe, but not in new in the concept of it's already been taught for thousands and thousands of years. So,
right.
So basically what you just said is the descension of reconnection to what we primarily always were or are.
Now, while doing this, what role do the, and I don't like to call them aliens or even extraterrestrials, but what role do the star families play in this whole thing?
Well, since they are do have DNA connection with us, since they do live here among us, in my opinion, to me it comes back into how much will they be able to influence us. Like, to me, I walk equally among all the star beings. Okay, it doesn't matter. There are a few that I don't like, because I don't like what they do to the human race, which is the Archonians. But besides that, if I said their name correctly, but the Archons, I mean.
Right, Archons.
I don't like the way that they treat human beings, and I don't like the way that they treat the spiritual beings of creation, okay?
Yes.
Which are like the Pleiadians and some other ones, okay? Anyway, as far as that goes, my personal opinion is I take them out of the equation right at this point. I came here to be human. I came here to teach humans what it was meant to be truly human and why we were such a great creation of God. And you can't do that if you have extraterrestrial DNA property in you. It doesn't vibrate in the same original pattern of creation of what it meant to be human. Because although they're great and I've learned a lot from them, I've also taught them a lot. I taught them from being human what it means to be human and why I chose to come back at this time, live my purpose, and bring people back into their full potential of resonating and vibrating back into the original template of our creation of physical essence. Does that make sense to you? I mean,
yeah, you know, wow, it really resonates with me, especially because of the fact that, again, we are moving back to recognizing our own divinity, which we hear all the time, but with that said, our own unique, beautiful qualities, you know, our value, our worthy, what we're bringing to force for all beings, all races, whether they're, you know, on another planet or whether they're here or whether they're walking amongst us, because we tend to put them on a pedestal.
Yes, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should look to find out how we are equal to them.
Very good point.
Yeah, and that's what also building the temple does. Once you become reunited with your spirit and you're in a singularity of oneness again, you truly are a master. The only thing that you have to do then is take responsibility of what you create from that masteryism.
Now, getting back to that, you and I, many moons ago, had such a profound discussion about the human race. So again, do us a favor, Jerry, and because I know this was information that you received from the divine. It was very, very profound. Explain to us how you see the human different from all the other species.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, it was very heavy.
You probably have a better memory on it than I do.
I know, but I could never say it the way you did.
I will try my best, okay?
Okay.
What I found out about the human race is we were the last of God's greatest creation. And it wasn't that we were separated within the divinity of that creation. It was we were physically empowered to represent the best of what God could create. Because the other races were a month before us, and they created war, and they created devastation. Not all of them, but enough to lose grace. Where the human race was a new, pure, divine creation. I think of what God wanted the original creations to be. So those who ascended onto the earth and could vibrate between heaven and earth at will, that was our true gift to help other races remember the divinity of where they came from as well. But because of jealousy, because of our planet and everything else, and we were victims of our own deceit. And basically, that's how our DNA got manipulated. You have to remember that if races are willing to procreate with something that's entirely outside of their own species, mm-hmm. you have to be a great creation. You have to be able to vibrate just to be able to hold that type of resonant frequency of their DNA as well. And even though they said that we were manipulated and everything else, I don't think it was really that complicated. I think that we were in such a energetic state of energy that we humans were basically the guardians and the teachers for other races. But I don't think they could stand that because of their own
warlike ways, right?
Yeah. And because of that, they wanted to show God that we were not as great as He created us truly to be.
So what you're saying, too, is we're now at this place where we truly are receiving the window of opportunity to finally be free to really get who we really are.
The best way of putting it, we're finally to the point where we're finally free of the Archon's influence over us in a DNA aspect. The reptilian part of our brain is basically fading. It's not that it's fight or flight. It's we choose to stand back in the energy of what we are so nothing can bring harm onto us anymore. And once you understand that true divinity of, if you wish to call it unconditional love, are the protection of ultimate source being back within every aspect of our physical, spiritual, mental, emotional nature again, so we can also put thoughts into that that tries to harm us, thoughts of love and not control, but of release. Because we are masters, and we know that they can no longer influence or bring us harm. That, to me, is the true sign of evolving. When you no longer live your life in fear, but you learn to accept the divinity of what true creation is and what you are.
Wow. And you know, that's clearly showing up on the planet just recently, Jerry. There were massive protests all over the world against this whole war with Israel and Palestine and the ridiculous warlike aggression that's going on in the Palestine area. It's probably one of the greatest shows of unity amongst all individuals on this planet that I've seen in a long time.
Me too.
It's just it just gave me goosebumps. It was so exciting. And, you know, with that said, now do you feel that with all of the so-called alien DNA or extraterrestrial DNA, you made a really good point, for us to be carrying that, then we would have to be able to withstand or sustain that higher frequency. What is your opinion of the different strains of extraterrestrial information or DNA strand or whatever? What do you feel we're actually carrying? Do you feel that we're a combination of hundreds if not thousands, or do you feel that it's only 22, or I'm just curious.
I feel that there's more than one strand of DNA, alien DNA within the human genome. Thousands, I don't think so, but I think hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there were planetary laws put against different races of what they can do, and we had to go underneath protection. And the story of Christ and how he did that, the underlying story, is really fantastic. One day I'll have to tell you that story of why we're underneath his protection and what the planetary laws changed because of that.
Well, go ahead. We have an hour.
Oh, okay. The story I got was they say that Christ died for our sins, but he actually died for more than that, in my opinion. Sins are kind of like a loose term. But because we had extraterrestrial DNA influence, and we didn't have anyone that would represent us per se, because we were kind of like contaminated goods. After our DNA was contaminated, we didn't carry the same vibrational energy to be able to... It's not that we can't speak to God directly, it's to be in true harmony with each other within God directly. Do you know what I mean by that?
Very interesting.
Well, we became separated from each other. Before, we could hold the heart and space of God, universal source, within each other. But once we became contaminated, it became self-realization of the me and the self. And basically, it's where if I need to survive, because we were, let's say we had Arconian DNA in us, we wouldn't think twice of me stealing your plate of food if I was hungry,
mm-hmm.
instead of sharing it.
Right.
And so we needed a way of stop being so barbaric to each other. And we did have teachers, and there was a lot of teachers around the world. There was a lot of great masters. But I think where Christ unified it, from the story I was told, was he taught different people of the disciples, basically. He had more than 12. But he taught them how to unify and come back into oneness without always squabbling and being so argumentative toward each other, and to find the divine truth. And there's where Christ came in, and he saved us from any more DNA, DNA interference. Beings just couldn't come down here and start mating with us. They couldn't just start using us as cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it does seem like that, believe me, if he wasn't here, it'd be a lot worse, okay?
Right.
Okay. His blood also reset the genetic DNA coding for us to go back into this particular point of becoming true human again, the vibrational energy of it. And he did this through the spilling of his blood. That was the main reason why he was put upon the cross. It was so the blood could be sanctioned by all that witnessed, including extraterrestrials, that he took on the responsibility and showed that he would die for protecting the human race.
Right.
So it could come back into its true alignment of oneness with Source again. And when he was poked in the side with the spear and all like that, I was told that that blood that came out basically saturated the earth.
Yeah, I've read that myself.
You know, and it was supposed to permeate the earth, and over time it rechanged the energetic energy for those who are evolving as well as ascending back into the purity and the paradigm of our true DNA form. And it's very necessary, I found out, for that to happen, because we are part of Earth. And as Earth evolves, we also evolve along a higher vibrational energy to be able to take care of her. At least that's the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it all goes back through being able to be connected back to the root source of Earth. And from that, and that's for the body, because our bodies live and die, but the soul and the spirit always goes on. In Christ's blood, what it did was every time that we've been reincarnated, it was supposed to evolve our DNA, if we so desired, to come back into more of alignment of true our true spiritual essence of what we were created as, and which is basically to me a translucent being that could ascend heaven and earth as above, so shall it be below. And the only way that you can do that is you have to get out, you have to take out the contaminated DNA strings that permeate our growth rate at this point. And that's what he did. He stopped the contamination, and he re-imposed or imprinted the original DNA pattern back into the living essence of what we are. And that's why if you look at the children coming in right now, they seem very gifted. They seem very bright. They seem to have a knowing of knowing things that you just wouldn't expect them to know.
Yeah, they do. They definitely do. And, you know, I kind of have a little bit of an add-on theory to this, which is so many of those that are, I guess I should say, ascending, there's many that have gone through some pretty horrific accidents, illnesses, and a lot of trauma. A lot of trauma. And I have a theory that I almost believe it's very similar to the spilling of the blood of Christ. I'm not saying it's equal to it, but each one of those that have carried that burden, where it's just really literally turned every aspect of their life upside down, they've clearly gone into what they call the dark night of the soul. They've really reached into that shadow within themselves, and they've seen all those aspects of themselves and seen the connection to humanity. I feel that those are also the other, you know, basic kind of Christ avatars walking the planet, that the moment they heal that, I have actually seen this in my own meditations, where there's like pockets of energy that pop on the higher planes that are clearing, because the individuals within that area or arena have not really reached that effective level to be able to do that themselves.
Wow. Profound. I like it.
Yeah. It comes to me when I'm making the remedies for people and I see, you know, the incredible trauma that they've gone through. But the thing that's so amazing is that moment, that actual moment that they choose to know that it's all okay, that there is this direct link, that there's a profound purpose as to why, you know, whether it's shedding a lot of tears, a great deal of sorrow, I mean, massive betrayal, you know, maybe getting gang raped or whatever, you know, all of those experiences, because I'm seeing so much of a pattern across the board with the people that come in through the implant removal process. And I have had to look at that and say, hey, there's something to this. And I really do believe that that's part of it.
I do too. In fact, it's amazing to you just said that, because your remedies and removal process basically go hand in hand with the temple. Because once you remove all those blocks, the temple can also help it so you never get attacked again. Because you energetically change everything about you.
Yeah, big time. And it's, you know, it's a profound process, and depending on how much work you've done, depending on how many blockages you already have, will determine what you feel and what you go through afterwards. You know? So, you know, I'd like to bring up something to you, especially being the profound healer that you are. So as you're working with people's temples, one of the, you know, $64 million sort of secrets, and I'm only using that, you know, lightly, is we all talk about those that seek out assistance, seek out help, and they don't think a thing has happened to them. You know, they go see, this healer. She does this profound, service and process on them, and they don't feel a thing. What can you say is what you see from that particular experience? Because I'm sure you've had the same thing, and this is something that all of the healers and practitioners, I don't care who you are out there, you see it a lot. And it's almost like a wound. It's almost like a wound to our hearts, because we know what we've given and we know what we've done and we've seen it accepted, but yet it doesn't register with the individual. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I have actually experienced what you've talked about. Mm-hmm. And I can think of one case right now. A person who was in the military, and they can't feel. And I can work with them 8 hours, and they can't feel. And what I found out was a part of them basically has just died. That's the only way I can put it.
Yeah.
An energetic part of them is so closed off to their psyche that they don't know how to feel anymore. It doesn't matter whether, they can go, yeah, I don't feel the pain anymore, I don't do this, but I don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. And until they are willing to look deep into their own self, or truly want to help in the aspect of not just mind, but having faith that what we are truly doing, and this is where it comes in true, because I use faith, that what I'm doing is truly divine work, and God heals those who truly
heal themselves.
Heal themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm just helping them reconnect. And some people, they just don't know how to feel. But it's emotionally. Now, I've worked with people that have actually had, let's say, cancer. A friend of mine actually worked with a person. I was working with him before. And we actually got them so energized that night they would actually pass a tumor through their body.
Very cool.
Showing that they were healing. But because their belief system, and they would tell it, and they kept repeating their belief system that they were told by a medicine man, a bad person, that they were underneath a curse and that they were going to die.
Oh my God!
And they couldn't get that out of their mind. Oh, and no matter if I had just shown them the temple at that time, I probably could have done a lot more with them, because then their own belief would have cleared it from them. Because they could have got rid of all the energetic energy from it.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to heal physically, but they couldn't do it spiritually. And you need to bring the two together so you're in harmony, so you don't resist your own self. And there's where the subconscious comes in.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Their own belief system basically killed them.
So really what most of us are up against, and I mean individually up against, not just the healers and shamans and practitioners of the world, is the willingness to have that door open, to have their belief system, which is it's its own matrix. It is its own grid system around the body. Trust me, I see it when I make the remedies. And to be open to allow that grid system to fall away. Because in my definition, too, as one ascends or descends, whatever you want to, call it, you must have that willingness to not have any expectations. That's number one. Because if you have an expectation, then you are controlling the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, if you expect something, you are either going to prevent what was supposed to come forth, or you will thwart it altogether. You know, you won't receive the divine gift of what occurred. But the other thing that's so important is that willingness, which is not comfortable. And for those out there that have had significant illnesses, injuries, trauma, you know, abuse, horrific childhoods and things like that, we all know that the way in which to let go of those imprints is you've just got to be a total open book to allowing that belief system to fall apart. It's not a fun thing to do, but the moment you make that decision that you're okay with that, which gets back to, Jerry, fear.
Yes.
You know, and it gets back to also what you said, which is to really to truly make a decision and you just do it. And you are a master because you know that if you've made that decision, then you know that that is what you are to do. You know, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're totally in confidence and empowerment. So I kind of wanted you to talk a little bit about that. You know, when you talk about belief systems, how is that integrating with all of this? Do the belief systems sit in the mind, or do they sit in the subconscious, according to your research?
They sit in both.
Okay.
And then they also bring cellular memory into the body. And because of that, if a person doesn't release your cellular memory as well, you don't always have change. Because you don't believe that it can happen to you, like you were saying.
Yes.
This is the great part about the temple. You create your own mantra of what you want for yourself. And because it works with direct universal energy, and God can't lie to us, and you're going directly to Source, you can feel the changes happening within you. The great thing about the temple is you start losing fear of the why and start understanding the acceptance of I see why it is. Because there's no more doubt or blame like you were talking about. Once you have faith and you have the energetic ability to manifest that which you are truly creating, you truly become one back into Source. And your body becomes less dense. And if the body becomes less dense, you're able to create more energy, which in turn makes it easier to manifest your purpose of what you truly were here for. And what I really learned about that is the main purpose why most people are here is for the love of their self, for self-identity, to be able to be not only service to each other, but love the creator of the fact that we are creations. Mm-hmm. And your method of what you do, I really appreciate. I think it's really strong and powerful.
Well, thank you.
Well, it is.
I think it is too.
I've seen it change people's lives.
Yes, as have I. Many, many.
Yeah, and what I like about the temple and where I've seen it change lives too is people start getting their whys in life. You know, why did this happen or why did that happen? Because as they release what no longer serves them to bring in what will serve them, you become free within spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is becoming a master.
Very good. very beautiful. And in fact, I want to kind of throw out there to you, you brought up service to others versus service to self. And I feel that even that has been misconstrued from the standpoint that because of the belief construct that we have survived in within the matrix, which is another construct. It's like one construct on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. We perceive service to self as being very, very kind of deadly and bad and you know, not okay. And in the way in which they're using it to express the two, I get it. But what I'm also maybe wanting to put out there is that one of the reasons that we're in the position we're in is because we were so naive, we were so willing to give up anything of ourselves for the sake of everyone else, that it is time to serve the self. And I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about that, if that resonates with you regarding the temple.
It does. If I understood you correctly, you're saying that it's not wrong to serve thyself, right?
Correct.
Okay, and I agree with you.
Correct.
Because if you don't serve yourself to the point of being able to take care of yourself or love yourself, you're truly no good to anyone else, because you have no energetic energy to yourself to be able to give other people anymore. Because you become a shell. You have to understand your identity. You have to understand why you do the things you do and tell people the things that they need to hear. Even if it hurts you more than it does them, because you're taking the risks of losing their friendship or losing their love. But you need to be able to do it, because it's really, it's not self-serving, it's self-empowering.
Yeah.
And I'm not, sometimes I give way too much, people say, because it's just who I am. I don't look at it like you always need to serve thyself, but you do. You need to honor yourself. I mean, a good example of that would be Christ told his disciples what they were going to do before they did it. And he could have said, you know, this is bull. I don't have to do this. I don't have to be sacrificed. I don't have to have Peter deny me three times. I don't have to have Judah betray me. But he was in service of two things. One, he knew his purpose, which was in service to self, and it was for the greater good of all instead of the one. So he served, in my opinion, he didn't betray himself, and he served the greater good of who and what he came here to do. So he had to be empowered. He had to be able to go, because my heart would have been broken. I mean, if someone was to betray me that I thought was a friend, I don't know if I could carry out what else I was supposed to do, because I'd be so heartbroken.
Right.
That's true empowerment. That is being a master, saying, I see their weakness, but I love them enough to know that they are forgiven because of their acts. But it doesn't diminish you, because you know your empowerment of their weakness. But your strength is your ability to stand up for your own constitutions and beliefs.
Exactly.
That is true service of oneself. And you have the right to do that. If you're a healer, and I get this, well, you should do your work for free and stuff. And I look at it, no, because energetically, I'm giving you something. And if you went to the store, you would not expect the merchant to give you his food or his clothing for free.
Right.
You would honor him by trading him something or giving him what we consider the material value of that, of being money.
Right.
We are no less than that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And in fact, I think we've done a real disservice to the healing community by having this it's almost like a mantra that flies all over the internet. Oh, well, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself for charging this. You know, everybody on the planet should have this. Everyone's talking about, you know, money and the fact that we don't need a monetary system. Hey, I get that. But until we get there, we still need money to pay our bills, to pay our rent, to put gasoline in our tanks. I mean, I don't know a gasoline station out there that takes something other than dollar bills, at least in this country. Okay?
Right.
So there has to be a level of reality here. And it's not about greed or anything else. It's literally about honoring. You know, if you stop looking at the dollar as something that's been taken or that's being hoarded or that's being prevented from being brought to you, you will never see this way again. You will never see, oh my God, I'm not going to pay them. They don't deserve that. You know, because it's not about that. It's just a form of exchange, period.
Well, yeah. Well, this is the good thing of that other side of that coin. As long as you do what you do in just righteousness and what you truly believe, there's nothing wrong with service, with being self-serving, okay?
Yes, yes.
Now, where people try to get you is on the monetary value of that other coin, where they say, well, aren't you supposed to be in service to others? And if your services are this, shouldn't you do this, this, and this? Even if they themselves wouldn't do it. When you are in service to others, doctor, they're coming to you, or they heard about you, because they want a particular modality, service, or healing that you have to offer. This is what you have to offer them. So they shouldn't be expecting you just to give it for freely because you are in service to others. I mean, I love my fellow human being, and I do a lot of stuff for them, okay?
I agree.
But at the same time, I cannot afford, and I learned this the hard way, to give everything that I am to those who have their hands out, because I end up with nothing, and I am not no longer service to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I given away everything that I had trying to be in service, and they gave nothing back. It's not a fair trade. If I went to a doctor and said, heal my bone because I broke it, I can't expect him to do it for free. He went to school for that. He learned his trade. And that is, to me, an honorable thing to do. I mean, I seeked out a service because of what I did. I needed my arm repaired, let's say. I would not expect not to pay him. The same thing. Being service to others means that you have a gift. You have a modality that people are searching for. And they are seeking you to help them with that. And that is the fair exchange of you giving onto them what they needed in service, and then they returning it by giving you back an equal energy exchange for it, whatever you find fair in that.
You know, Jerry, I really think that this is a core conflict within a lot of the people that offer services such as, you know, energetic readings, healings, etc., medical intuitiveness, and it is very unfortunate because they're all very brilliant and offer, you know, as I've said many times, I had a slew of healers assist me in getting where I am today. And honestly, there's not one that didn't somehow, some way help me to get where I am today. I saw each and every one of them and their gift. And I don't regret one of them, even the most expensive. Because I didn't see it as, what I'm trying to say is, I didn't see it as, oh, he's $500, so he's better than Jerry, who only charges 2 cents. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
It's almost like, okay, well, he's wearing a suit, and so I'm paying this because that's, you know what I mean? I mean, we've read so much into, like, $300 is is more valuable or something.
But no, that's because people evaluate advertisement to metaphysics, and they're two different things. Advertisers have made people believe that if you pay exorbitant amounts of money for something, it's better than if you paid $2 for it, even if it's the same product.
Right.
Okay. You can't do that with metaphysics. And I'll give you an example. I know people that are going and they're taking Reiki, okay? And they'll pay top dollar for the masters, okay? Mm-hmm. And they'll think nothing of it because that's what they want to do. And they learn this energy and all like that. But does that give me the right to say, well, you just spent X amount of money to learn this crap. Now I want you to do what you just learned free onto me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a service.
Right.
That's trying to take advantage of them.
Right.
And I've learned the hard way. I don't do that anymore.
Well, and I want to bring it back to, this is part of service to self, folks. For all of you out there, and I've had many people write into me about this. There's people that have wanted to start their own reading companies or, you know, services. You know, everything from reading to angel cards to palmistry to, you know, energetic healings to on the way up, crystal readings. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's standing firm, knowing that you have this precious gift that's been given to you divinely, and you're offering it to whomever vibrates and resonates with what you have to offer, period. And if we all stop getting so hung up on this stuff, it really would fall away. And everybody would be happy because everybody in the healing community would be fairly receiving money to survive right now.
True. And just so you know, as far as I know, even back in the times of Buddha, Christ, and everything else, they gave tribute to their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They gave tribute to their healers. And I think even the Buddha set up a little food for them and all like that. It's offerings. You know, I mean, I've been to places where they have little Buddhas and you'll see all this little compliments and, you know, trays and stuff around them and stuff.
Right.
Because they honor what he has brought to them.
Exactly.
Are we any different than that? No.
No.
We should be also honored for what we help a person overcome. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. People might say that we do owe service, but if they knew that they could come to you and you could cure them of cancer that quickly just by the spoken word, they would give you any price if they had it for you to do that onto them. Because what people say and what they truly do are two different things. When people are sick, what's the first thing they do? Like if they have a really terrible disease, like cancer or something, they go to the doctor and the doctor says, I need to pollute your body with radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them will say, okay, go ahead and do it. I'll take the consequences of the side effects so I can still live another 15, 20 years.
Which even that is very questionable. It's typically only 5.
Right.
You're going to do that to your body.
But here's the thing. When people get in desperation, they are willing to trade whatever they have in order to survive. If you can go to a healer and they truly do as they claim, what is the value of their worth? And to me, there's no money that can, or monetary value that can truly be put upon it if they truly cured you of what was the affliction.
Absolutely.
And that goes back to earlier also. If they don't believe that you are doing what you claim, because they don't have faith in their own self, because they've taken it on the energy that they don't deserve, it doesn't matter who they go to sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be healed.
That's a really good point. Because if you're, again, it's a blockage, and again, it is a part of another belief system that, oh, you're screwing me, or you're, out to take advantage of me. I mean, think about it. If we didn't have that belief system, would we be thinking this way about money? Okay, now, you know, granted, I mean, I am fully on board that we will be in a place one day where there will not be the necessity for money to own each of us, in the fact that we have to pay for gas and we have to pay for water and electricity and clothing and food and shelter and health care and all this stuff. I get that. But if we didn't really have the belief system or the imprint from all of the trauma that the human race has experienced about the fact that, you know, we've been taken advantage of, if that was erased, this conversation wouldn't even be happening.
I'm just hoping that's changing, and then people realize that as they start evolving, they are going to have to start seeking help if they truly want the true understanding of what they're going through from those who have already went through this experience.
Yeah.
Like yourself, for example. You know, you make a great teacher. And that wisdom should be honored, not taken advantage of.
Yeah, I agree. And we all need to support one another. I know everybody has heard me say this many times. I'm very protective of the healing community, because I know how hard all of us work, and I know the depths of the concern and the care and the love and the intense passion, the desire to really make a difference and to assist people. And I just hope that that just having this conversation gets everyone to think in terms of their own value and, you know, serving themselves. So with that said, well, you know.
I'm going to make one more quick comment on that.
Okay.
And that goes for what I teach, becoming a master. I need to work with people individually so they can understand the mantra of what they need to create to become the best and divine of who they are again. That takes time, okay? And I don't, it's not a lot of money for the class, but the wisdom that you take from it, from my students that have taken it, they have told me that there is no monetary value, that it's truly worth, except for what I wish to put on it, because of what they truly have learned from it is how to reconnect to who they truly are and become empowered, because they have learned to dissolve and to release all the baggage from their past. Instead of having someone else do it for you, they have learned how to become empowered to do it for thyself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is, I don't know how much that's worth, but just the fact that we can change the world through it, mm-hmm. because as you change one person's higher vibrational energy, it does affect another person.
Yes, it does. And not just affecting another person. I like I said, we are literally affecting pockets of the population because of the quantum field, because of the proliferation of light that's hitting the planet, because of the fact that we are eliminating karma. You know, there's so many variables. Because of all that, just that one event is affecting countless other events, circumstances, people, you know, thoughts. It's very, very empowering to think that way. And so all of us that have chosen to be in the healing arts, you know, it's a great deal of responsibility. And because it's a great deal of responsibility, we should be honored accordingly. And so, you know, anyway, enough of that. But I did want to ask you another question, Jerry.
Go ahead.
You know, one of the most mind-blowing things that has come through the implant removal process is we brought forward the second and third process, which is the soul alignment, which is the phase two. And what has kind of blown our mind about that is the realization, and I say this because I received many confirmations from the universe regarding it, and that is that after so many hundreds of thousands of years of the body reincarnating and living in various timelines and acclimating itself to these foreign devices, you know, the implants, the soul had no other choice than to become either numbed out and kind of check out etherically, or we've literally seen it physically leave the body and just kind of hang on through other means. And I was wondering if you've actually experienced that when you've worked on people, if you've seen a number of us where our souls are like disconnected, not disconnected, like they're still connected, but they're not in alignment.
Yes, I have. In fact, I'm very blessed because one of the things that I'm capable of doing is I actually talk to the spirit. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing my work, I ask people, like I said, what do you want? And then I find out what your spirit needs. But sometimes I look into the mind, and you're right, there's a disassociation of the physical balance and the soul balance within human beings. Like, their desire of self, how do I put this? Of self-divinity is not there anymore. I've actually seen people where they almost felt like their spirit, or actually their soul, was in a state of limbo. And they were just letting their bodies go through the motions of life. Mm-hmm. I call it existing instead of actually living. Because they didn't take the full advantage of becoming empowered. They became disassociated, like you were saying, and just did whatever it took to survive. And sometimes they weren't even good at that, because they let so many different things happen to them, whether it be walk-ins, not even walk-ins, but fall-ins, walk-ins, which are little demonic beings sometimes, different things that would happen to them, and then they wouldn't even understand why things were happening to them.
Yeah, it's like they are not the pilot of their ship.
Yes, I've seen that.
You know, and it's, you know, this is where we have to look at how do we bring forth that which we want? You know, what is going to be the most non-convoluted way to get from point A to point B? Well, and I've thought about the body and the mind and the subconscious and the cellular memory. I mean, these are all major ingredients of bringing forth true healing.
Well, what you and I work almost vibrationally in the same energetic energy. It's just that you are doing it directly through removal and then keeping it energized through your remedies that you make for people. And you make them personally for them, which is fantastic. What I'm doing is let's say they had that, I give the clarity of saying, so you can make a better body for yourself so this never happens to you again. Like I told you earlier, I am creating a new template for my next physical body when I reincarnate again. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I decide to come back here. The temple gives you the ability, so you walk in the power, so you never forget who and what you are. Now, it doesn't mean that you will have recognition, like you go, oh, Joe, in the last life I tortured you and I feel so bad. You know, and that's what they call karma at this point. But it means that you would never create that again. So you would remember each other as brothers and sisters. Our unity in love with in the universal love of each other. But because you have built your temple, you built a foundation of a new new time paradox, basically. Because your paradigm to source can never be broken again.
Mm. Wow. And I would also add that, you know, if we wash away the cellular memory, the karma itself, you know, it's also very important to remember that the karma is exactly that remorse, guilt, shame, feeling worthless, feeling, you know, downtrodden, that kind of thing. That, too, in my opinion, is actually living all of this karma that, as Jerry is discussing, it is no longer necessary for us to do so. In fact, there was a fantastic article put out just a couple of days ago by Sandra Walker, and I'm sure many of you have heard of her. And it was talking about this very thing, that the conspiracy theorists, she was suggesting that because we are still hanging on to the severity of what happened before, she was saying that it's you know, she was insinuating, I should say, that it was delaying this unfolding process. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do. And here again, if you become a master, and this is why I believe that even 300 years after the teachings of Christ, people were still willing to be killed for their belief system. Because it wasn't like the Romans and the Jews and like that said, okay, Christ is dead, no one's more going to believe in him. His numbers actually started increasing. The disciples went around and they taught. And in order for people to change, you have to give them something that is tangible so they can truly believe in what you're teaching them. Mm-hmm. And that's what the temple does. It gives you the empowerment of seeing your own divinity in action by manifestation of your own creation of energy. Mm. And this is why I think that when that was taught, the Romans eventually, Constantine realized, if you can't beat them, join them. And then break their traditions from within.
Wow. Yeah. Well, so I guess I should ask you one other thing. How are you going about this? Is this a physical workshop, or are you doing this online as a teleconference?
I do it in physically right now. I just have places. I rent out places, or I go to the Multidimensional School, or the Temple of Light, or the Learning Light.
Do you need to touch people when you're doing this? Are you actually giving demonstrations?
I can do this also online because I don't have to touch people.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Okay, the first two times I don't have to touch people. If we get into the third, which is really advanced, then I need to, because then I can actually see your energy. I can actually see what you are capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And then helping you amplify that which you already do.
Right.
That's my gift.
And, you know, Jerry, I want to ask you something else, because this comes up a lot. You know, there's a lot of us that are very apprehensive to allow just anyone into our own energetic field, for you know, rightfully so. But I almost think that we've kind of gone a little bit paranoid in that area, too. And I wanted to know what you thought about that. You know, I mean, I guess my point is, when you become a master and someone offers to do a healing on you or offers to give you something like that energetically, if you're in that position or space of mastery, do you really have anything to worry about with that person passing on something to you, for example?
If you're a true master, no.
Okay.
Because first of all, they can't even They can't even touch your vibrational energy. So they never get through your etheric field, let alone your aura field, okay? So they're not going to be able to do anything to you anyway. At that point, it would just be a belief if they did. It would be like a person trying to heal Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? You would have to be very powerful to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're a true master, you don't even have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people work on me that had lower energy than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't really feel anything, but I didn't really want to hurt them at night. I knew, because I could see their energy, I said, this is what you're doing. And say, okay, thank you. But there's two things I don't allow anymore. I don't allow people to give me their energy when I'm working on them. And that's why I push energy through the temple. Because I'm pushing out 360 degrees of energy. So that blocks anything that can come into me.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I'm always bringing new energy in to replace everything that I just gave that person. That's why I can go from one person to another without being drained.
But you still, I know you have your select few that you go to for your own healings.
Yes, I do.
So talk to us a little bit about that. Just so people have a perspective.
There are people that I do trust because they heal differently than I do. And that's the beauty of different healers.
There you go. Bingo.
You know, and I know when I need a certain thing, I can't heal all. So I go to them and say, can you see or can you remove this from me? Okay. And they do. I can feel their work. You've even helped me out before.
Mm-hmm.
You made remedies for me that, when I needed confidence, because I'm still human.
Yes.
I'm not perfect. And even when you create the temple, it doesn't make you perfect. It just makes you become more in sync to your divinity of being, in constant connection to Source.
Well, and on top of that, it's like you're basically bringing in all the commanders of the ship, and they're all working at the same pace. They're all working, and they're all on track.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Well, even Christ said, when sick, seek a physician sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. And I even tell people, sometimes you need to go see a chiropractor. You might need to go see a doctor. You might need some... You might need to take a vitamin.
Well, okay, Jerry, we're getting down to the... Can you believe it? It's almost been 2 hours.
Okay.
So can I
get something really quick?
Yeah, go ahead, sure.
There's two things I'm really excited about. I have another technique, and it literally takes people off the grid. It's a very powerful technique.
Right on.
What it does is... If you have two people, you can, and you're both working at, let's say, 10% mind power, you can actually double it not to 20%, but to 200% mind power. So exponentially, it goes like this. If you had five people, and let's say you were supposed to get 50% out of it, you know, mind power,
mm-hmm.
mine would go, you start at the 10, then it goes to 100, then it goes to 1,000, then and so on. Exponentially itself.
Very cool.
So that technique is really powerful. I like to see you, and I think I showed you that technique one time, but just in case, I'd like to use it because it really does take people off the grid.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Okay. Well, so... why don't you tell everybody how to reach you?
Oh, okay. If you'd like to get in contact with me, you can go to imtouch, touch 7, at gmail.com. That's imintouch7 at gmail.com. And You can also go to my Facebook, Jerry Yusko.
And everybody, his last name is Y-U-S-K-O. And his email address, just to clarify, Jerry, it's I-A-M.
No, I-M. I-M.
Oh, I thought it was I-A-M. Okay, sorry.
I-M-T-O-U-C-H 7 at gmail.com.
Okay, got it.
Or you can just go to jerryyusko at yahoo.com.
And it's J-E-R-R-Y. And I'll be putting this up on the page anyway. But, okay, and how much do you charge for your services, Jerry, for the temple?
Including material, it's about $100.
Oh, my God.
It's a long class, though. I mean,
it's a great deal.
Well, you're talking about, yeah, but you're talking almost like a four-hour class.
Sign me up.
Well,
I haven't seen you in a while anyway.
Yeah, you would really love the temple. Believe me, if you really want change in your life, because you're the divine creator of that change. No one can teach you what you already know. I can only help you guide you to what you wish to become.
Well, and I like the whole empowerment manifestation and just creating at will thing. I think
and it works.
Yeah,
that's,
I think that's the most exciting part. So, everybody, thank you again for listening to Jerry Yusko and I today. And, again, you can reach him at imtouch7@gmail.com. Of course, if you have any questions for me regarding the implant removal, the soul alignment, and the DNA process, they are a three-step series. The second two are not the same without the first one. So you've got to get your implants out first. Please drop me a line at healing@galacticconnection.com. And sending all of you lots and lots of love. Take care and have a wonderful day. And thanks again, Jerry.
Now, thank you so much for this time, Alexander.
You're
a blessing.
Aw, you are too. I love you.
Same here.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.